And I'm muted. Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. This is JC filling in while Chris Ann is, you know, tackling all that legal lawyery stuff, fighting the good fight. I promise I will stay socially distanced from every one of you throughout the show today. So this will be virus-free broadcasting. And I don't plan to talk much about the V word, the C word, whatever, virus, today. So we'll just see what's going on. Wanted to fill in for a little bit, say hi to you guys. And, yeah, isn't this awesome shirt? It's one of my favorite shirts. I love this. I don't even know where I found this thing, but one of my favorites. I wish I could make a version myself. I'm afraid somebody would sue me for copyright. I don't know, Sesame Street, right? Does that even exist anymore? So my shirt is Cookie Monster, and he's all, you know, he's all blowed up. Bodybuilder body, Cookie Monster. That's what cookies do to you. Cookies make you big and blue. Yeah, I think that's a Sesame Street guy, Cookie Monster. Cookie! But, you know, Sesame Street kind of went off the rails. It got so lefty. It's crazy. At least that's what I heard. I started seeing that after a little while. So long ago, though. But now it's like lefty indoctrination, Gaia and Marxism. And it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, even good stuff, they just kill the stuff. I loved Oscar the Grouch because, like, I love being grumpy. I like being grumpy sometimes. That's fun. And just Oscar just talked smack. Like he didn't take any garbage, no pun intended. And he'd just be like, eh, don't mess with me, dude. You know, so I love Oscar's attitude. He had the best attitude. But anyway, so I need an Oscar the Grouch shirt. Yeah, speaking of Cookie Monster. So the rumors, did you guys catch these rumors of Kim Jong, what is his name? Kim Jong-un? Is he the Un? I always get those guys mixed up. You know, because the last name is the first name, last name, whatever. So Kim is like the last name. So all of these rulers have been Kim. And then you got to keep up with what follows Kim. Kim Il-sung. Kim Jong-un, that kind of thing. Kim Il-sung was his dad. So Kim Jong-un, that guy, a Cookie Monster made me think of this, right? Because so the rumors were spreading and it was, and you didn't, you know, people don't know whether it's legit or not, but the rumors were spreading that he's, you know, he had surgery, he's gravely ill, he's dying, he's dead. All these rumors came out. CNN and all the lefty fake news started saying Kim is dead. And then apparently South Korea is like, no, we don't see anything. It's business as usual. Everything's running normally. And then they started noticing that the state-run media was just regurgitating old stuff that he said, like there's been nothing new and he's quiet. But, you know, I mean, it's quarantine virus, whatever. Maybe the guy's, you know, locked in his crib with a 50-gallon drum of marshmallow cream and Oreos. I mean, look at this guy. It's hard to see how he's alive. Now, I mean, if any of you guys are fat watching the show, I'm not trying to be mean to fat people, but look at this dude. I mean, he looks like, you know what? I mean, he looks like a walking, one of those balloon, like parade, the New York Christmas parade balloons. That's what he looks like. He's so bloated. Look at this face. His face looks like you could pop it with a pin and his chubby little sausage fingers. Look at this thing. He's got fat rolls on his thumb. The guy's got fat rolls. Look at this. He's got a fat roll on his thumb. So who would even be surprised that he keeled over? I don't know if, like, family members probably don't hug the dude anyway. He has him killed and executed, stuff like that. But if his mom were alive and give this guy a hug, she would have to go wash her clothes, like rinse the lard out of her clothes. You probably squeeze lard out of this guy. So look at his fat rolls in his forehead. Like, the whole face is so blowed up like a frog. The guy is huge. They say he's like, I don't know, five something, five short, put it that way. He's five short. And, oh, here we go. 5'7", so not hugely short. Just slightly below average. He's not a tall guy, though. Okay? So 5'7", but they say he weighs 300 pounds. So he's pretty rotund guy. And heavy smoker, heavy eater. So anyway, they're saying maybe he's dead. People don't know. And then if he's dead, some were saying if he's dead, then it could be like a big humanitarian crisis because people would just start fleeing North Korea and pouring over the border. Right? Ding dong, the witch is dead. And then they're all just flooding South Korea. He's one Rogan tall. Is Joe Rogan 5'7"? Is Joe Rogan that short? Really? He's a little dude. Rogan's not fat, though. But he's pretty... Anyway, Kim's pretty chunky. Thank you. What does that even say? Ilba Hooker 1. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Is that a real name? Is that a real first name? I've never seen that before. That's incredibly unique if that's your given name. Am I saying that right? Ilba, thank you for your super chat. Registered to the classes to learn from Chris Ann. Keep up the great job. Chris Ann has done a couple presentations now at the Liberty Institute. And I think there's more to go. But check out Liberty Institute. Sign up for that. They've been great. So the guy that, I guess the founder of Liberty Institute, you know, we know the lady who was hosting back from way back. And I guess the founder was like, and she's like, I got to get my girl Chris Ann on here. And the founder was, you know, what are you teaching the Constitution? What is that? That sounds boring. Whatever. Go ahead. And then he saw it. And man was just blown away. He said, oh man, this is anything but boring. This is amazing. I can't believe how much I learned. And of course, that's what happens when Chris Ann teaches the Leadership Institute. What did I say? Liberty Institute? Leadership Institute. And, you know, so that always happens. People are blown away that it's not boring. Like, this is history and it's not boring. And then, of course, you know, jam packed with information for so many years, we run into people and you say Constitution, teaching the Constitution, whatever. And everybody thinks they know everything. Oh, I took that course from Hillsdale and I'm a Supreme Court justice now, you know. So everyone's always blown away with what they learn. I never forget, we were in Texas and I think a justice from the Supreme Court of Texas was there and went through, I don't know how long or which course or whatever, but I think he went through at least an hour and may have sat through one of the longer seminars. But so this is Supreme Court Justice of Texas and he says, I learned more from you in an hour than I learned in my entire educational career. So law school, college, whatever. So it's just astounding how much information, how informative it is every time she teaches. And people are absolutely blown away. So check that out, Leadership Institute. It's like, you know, free class. It's not I don't think she's teaching, you know, all of what we have on Liberty First University. It's just kind of a taste of it. But, you know, the stuff that she's broadcasting there that you can sign up for at the Leadership Institute, that's the kind of stuff we have on Liberty First University. And so that's the excellent education that you're dealing with there. Yeah, okay, so the justice guy, the Texas judge, was in the full six-hour seminar that Chris Ann used to do regularly every Saturday. Yes, it was incredible. We have that on a 3-DVD set back in the warehouse. Now a lot of that is on LFU, which will be heading toward restructuring. Of course, we were just getting started with the restructuring of LFU, and then the zombie apocalypse hit, so it's been kind of delayed. But it's going to be even better when we get through that. It's going to be amazing. So, yeah, right, Dr. Sean, that's right. This you always get. This old document written by racist white guys. You know, who even needs to know that? And, of course, it's funny, then once Trump came into office and even so many of the liberals and lefties all of a sudden were interested in the Constitution. They're like, how much of a tyrant is this guy? What can he do? What can he do? And all of a sudden they want to know about the Constitution. They didn't care how much Mr. Obama was shredding the Constitution or if Clinton or whoever else. And then it works the opposite way, you know. So the whatever you want to call it, the modern, I don't know, neo Tea Party movement that launched off under President Obama, all the conservatives, so-called, were interested. Oh, this Constitution thing, Constitution, rah rah. How does this work? Let's learn some of this thing. And but then once the Republican gets back in, Constitution, what's that? I've never heard of that thing. Oh, we'll get that later. When there's a Democrat back in office, we'll check back with this Constitution thing. And of course, as you well know, the people who listen to this audience, those are the times when probably your Constitution is under the fiercest attack. You know, is when it's your guy or a guy you like, and you're not paying attention, and you know, everybody's letting him get away with murder. I mean, our Constitution was probably, actually, I think there's no probably about it. Our Constitution was attacked more under President George W. Bush, you know, probably than anybody in the history of the Republic. You know, Obama could have not done a third of what he did had President Cheney not laid the foundation. I always slip up and say President Bush, just a slip of the tongue. But President Bush, right, is a misnomer. Like that's a unicorn. It's not real. President Cheney is what I meant to say. And but under Bush the sock puppet, man, our Constitution was really under assault. So, but yeah, good stuff. So check that out, and you know, lays a real good foundation. So appreciate you guys being here today. And thanks for tuning in. So yeah, North Korea, no idea what's going on in there. The guys, they're still trying to figure out. Going to be watching. Is Kim dead? Is Kim not dead? So I'm not talking about a virus today. So I don't know. Maybe I won't be here long. Maybe you guys are not interested in anything other than a virus. I don't know. But I'm actually not interested in it today. In fact, I'll tell you what. I'll share one story that's mildly related to, Lincoln's pretty bad. I guess I should say in modern presidents. So probably the biggest assault of modern presidents would be President Cheney. And then like we'll draw a line and we'll leave Lincoln in the other era, because it's kind of hard It's like a toss up with those guys. Oh, Lincoln probably wins the day. But I think Lincoln was more overt. Like, it was more out in the open. That's probably the biggest difference. You know, Lincoln actually shutting down newspapers, jailing newspaper printers, you know, things like that. Very, very overt. Cheney was more sophisticated under the Bush administration. And so they were probably more subtle. It's probably the biggest distinction between the two. And that's kind of the modern, that's where we are, because you could sort of say the same thing people look at, you know, when you talk about Marxism, communism. So you point to the Soviet Union, oh, we're not the Soviet Union, we don't have communism, that kind of thing. Well, the difference is we have a much more subtle communism. You know, they, as time goes on, the tyrants learn better how to implement these things. So I would say we have a more sophisticated Marxism today. So then people don't notice it as much. And of course, now we're, you know, what, 18, 19, we're at least 150 years or more along with established brainwashing through the public university. So, I mean, so we've raised a whole generation that either outright embraces Marxism, or they've been dumbed down so much that they don't even, you know, they don't even recognize it, which I think that's a majority of where the American people are. I'll get back to Cheney, but a majority of where the majority of the American people are, I think, when this primary started, so I said on this show, I felt like it was going to be, I said, I felt like a majority of the American people do not embrace Marxist ideology. Okay. I still believe that. Stay with me and I'll explain what I'm saying. So, and I said, I don't believe that's a majority of the people. And I said that looking at the Democrat primary, this will be the test. Like, how strong a hold does the establishment Democrats have, and how far has the purely open Marxists, where are they? The AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, all that. And clearly, I believe I was correct, and Bernie Sanders and those guys were rejected pretty strong. Well, they were rejected. Let's just put it that way. They're still not really in the ascendancy. Here's the deal, and here's the problem. Majority of the American people, when they express what they believe, when they articulate what they believe, I don't think a majority of the American people, their beliefs line up with Marxist ideology. The problem is they don't vote their principles, and they don't understand what's coming at them. So the packaging is so good, the Marxism is so good, that what the people hear, right, their packaging is free stuff. People hear free stuff. They don't understand the damaging consequences that go along with this free stuff offer. And so I don't think they don't recognize it as Marxism. What they're swallowing, they don't recognize as Marxism. Because when you ask a majority of the American people if you articulate Marxist philosophy, they're pretty much, no, I don't believe in that. But people are so ignorant and so unaware, and these guys are so slick in leveraging the ignorance of the American people against them, that we swallow Marxism. And here's the other thing. Even though the majority of American people are not Marxists in their beliefs, the minority Marxists control major levers in the political system and in society. So the people at CNN, MSNBC, all these folks, their perspective does not represent a majority of the American people, but yet they control practically all of the information flow. So the Marxists rule over the people. So they've positioned themselves into critical areas within American society, even though they're not the majority. I don't think people on MSNBC, they don't represent the majority of America. But yet all of those networks are controlled by people like that. All those idiots sitting in the press corps, they're people like that. They don't represent the majority of American people, but yet they've seized control. So it's a problem. Yeah, it's not the majority of America, but unfortunately, we're ruled over by this minority subversive radicals, you know. So it's a big problem, the ignorance and just detachment. And stuff we fight against. I mean, that's what we try to educate people on, wake people up too. So, you know, there you go. That's my take on that. Now, okay, so I'll almost share this one little thing with you. Not directly virus, not about the virus so much, but remotely, you know, maybe a degree away, because I'm not talking about that thing. But this is crazy. I just shook my head at this, because this has been the whole time. You know, come on. Look at this study. Elderly Trump voters dying of the thing could cost him in November. So these guys, is this these these academics, and they little noticed public administration journal. So in other words, this, you know, nobody journal publishes this story that old people are the ones dying, and so therefore this helps Democrats and hurts Republicans. Now, you do understand that one of the techniques, one of the techniques that they use to drive the narrative, like they report to drive the narrative, they report with purpose. So they craft this thing to make people, you know, react in a certain way to drive opinion and narrative. It's not necessarily factual, but it's funny. They're sitting around hoping that, and when you look at the article, it's like more old Republicans will die than old Democrats. How do you project that thing? So now the thing I said I'm not talking about is partisan. Right? We have the curfews. We have to have the curfews for this thing because it's not nocturnal, or it's nocturnal, I don't know. So you have to stay at home at night. You can't go out at night. You're more susceptible at night. And now you're more susceptible if you're an old Republican. So here's the thing. Instead of a mask, instead of the test, you need to rush out and change your party affiliation to Democrat so you'll be less likely to die if you're over 65. Oh, man. These guys. And people eat this stuff up. People read these articles like, oh, did you hear? This stuff's going to hurt Trump because more old Republicans are dying than old Democrats. What? How do you come up with that? Oh, it's crazy. Anyway, so that's all the virus I'm talking about. So, did you catch this? Trump, you want a cool shirt like this? I want to make a shirt like this. The only one I've ever seen. I said I want to duplicate it, but that would be kind of fraudulent, like taking somebody's artwork. I don't know where you get one. I wish I could make one, but I'm afraid I'd be sued by Sesame Street. That's the problem with that. But did you get this, Trump? I don't know if you heard this one. So Trump's at Iran again. Trump tweets order to destroy Iranian boats. Pentagon calls it a warning. President, this is an interesting tweet. I should have. Okay, here's the actual tweet. I have instructed the United States Navy to shoot down and destroy any and all Iranian gunboats if they harass our ships at sea. So, you know, apparently there was a video of these boats, you know, speeding around in the vicinity of some ships in the Gulf there. And yeah, I guess the Navy didn't like it. I was in the Navy and we rode sailboats and all that. I mean, it didn't look like a big deal to me, other than the 50 cal they had mounted on the front, or whatever it was, some machine gun mounted on the front of this little speedboat, which was nothing. The guy looked like, come on, give me a break. It didn't look threatening at all. But nevertheless, Trump says he's going to shoot down. He tells the Navy, shoot down any boat. Now, again, I was in the Navy and we rode sailboats to Haiti and, you know, taking humanitarian aid. I don't know what exactly that means. Shoot down a boat. Unless Iran has flying boats. So it's a lingo thing. Shoot down a boat. Do you shoot down a boat? Like, you shoot down aircraft, you shoot down drones, you shoot down planes. Do you shoot down boats? I don't think you shoot down boats unless they have flying boats. So maybe Iran has flying boats. Maybe they know something we don't know. The pictures I saw were not flying boats. They were just, they actually look like some of the boats I see as we're driving here in Florida. You will see them like old boats in somebody's yard on blocks. Like, I guess boats can get repoed. Because I grew up in kind of a poor part of North Florida. And you would see, you know, you'd see cars on blocks. And they look like fairly, and maybe some of you guys are not familiar with this. I know we have a lot of California patriots that watch, and, you know, there's a lot of money out there, and it's the beautiful land. You know, I don't know if you've ever been around this, but in the poor neighborhood where I grew up, you would see otherwise good-looking cars up on blocks. What do I mean up on blocks? So all the tires are removed, and the car is jacked up sitting on concrete blocks. And that was because the person at that house where the car was, actually, a lot of times you put it in, they would send it to somebody else's house, like their cousin Bubba, you know, would have a spot out in his yard, and you can put your car up on blocks in Bubba's yard. But the point is, the person stopped paying their loan and they put it up on blocks so that it couldn't get repossessed. So you also see boats in Florida. I've seen boats on blocks. Now, usually these boats, they don't look good. They look real beat up and dingy. Well, that's what these Iranian Revolutionary Guard gun boats look like. So it was like this. It looked like some kind of motorboat that they dragged out of Bubba's cow pasture and then, you know, took, I don't know, a 2x4 or 4x4 and mounted, you know, Bubba's shotgun on the front. That's what these things look like when I saw the video of them passing in front of the Navy vessel. And so that's what Trump said, shoot them down. Maybe they were jumping the waves. So like when they jump the waves, and when they're airborne, then you shoot them down. So Trump says, shoot the boats down. Then, of course, and this is funny. Obviously, Iran didn't like that. Nobody likes to be called out. You know, Trump's calling out their manhood, challenging their manhood. And so Iran's military chief, right, the new one who's not the dead one, says its forces will destroy U.S. warships if threatened in the Persian Gulf. I don't know if they're going to use the Bubba boat to do that or what. But, you know, one threat leads to another. Salami, apparently this guy's named Salami as well. Apparently Salami is, I don't know if it's a popular dish in Iran, but it is apparently a popular name in Iran. So this guy's Salami. They replaced one Salami with another. So Salami 2.0 says, don't threaten me, bro. I'll blow your ships up. So that's what's going on with Iran. I kind of keep up with Iran. Oh man, I need to show you this. You guys need to see this. Speaking of Iran, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you heard this amazing news. I posted it on my Instagram. So if you're on Instagram and you follow me at JC Hall Global, JC Hall Global, I actually shared this. Let me see if I can share this and you guys can see it. But Iran has come up with a cure for the coronavirus. One of the imams came up with a cure for coronavirus. Here it is. Okay, I don't think, well, you don't need to see it. Can you read the, just read the, what's going on there. The cure is here, he says. The best cure is on lung disease and asthma is here. Look at the camel. And even corona that has totally messed up the world, he says, standing by his camel. Someone told Imam somebody in Hadith, I can't breathe. And I have to sit due to shortness of breath. Imam said, use the camel urine and you will be cured. He said he did so. So my man has poured me some urine. So then here he is grabbing a cup of camel pee. And here we go. Drink it up. Oh, he looks thrilled about that. So there you go. Iran has the cure. And I'll put a link in the notes if you want to sign up for that cure, and we'll get you some of that mailed out right away. 99, we'll just do flat $99 free shipping and handling. And we'll get you the Iranian everything cure. I mean, this cures asthma, he says, any kind of breathing problems. Now, if you have your own camel, it's a good market. If you're entrepreneurial and you have your own camel, boom, there you go. I wouldn't let Uncle Sam know. You know, I mean, the government tries to shut down kids with lemonade stands. So a pee stand, I don't know. That could be a problem. So I kind of keep that on the down low if I were you. Like, we're not scared. So you want to go ahead and you can cash at me a $100 bill and I will get you the Iranian cure. So whenever you're ready, sign up for that. You go for it. Yeah, camels that pass through the eye of a needle. That was that camel. So there you go, Iran. I keep up with Iran. That was just a little bit out of Iran. And so that's why, you know, that's why they're driving their Bubba boats. And, man, they are not afraid of the U.S. Navy because they have the magic camel pee. And they are ready to rock. Let's see. I had some. Oh, this is crazy. How about this? No, we're not going to give you fake. We're not going to put apple juice in the cup. It's going to be legit. So you're getting the real deal. We don't believe in fake cures. So it's pee or nothing. Pee or nothing. No apple juice. No fake apple juice. And yeah, you could probably flavor it. You know, put a little squeeze of lime, lemon, something like that. A little dash of, I don't know what. But there you go. Thank you, Becca, for the super chat. Oh, man, JC, you killed me. Friggin' hilarious. I didn't do it. That's the Iranians. It's all them. And check this out. This is trip. You know, the lefties are always trying to trying to push the climate change narrative. They're always looking for an angle, like, to work in the climate change story and tell you how bad everything is, and it's all because of climate change. So, you know, we got to do that. So tell me what you guys think about this one. This just made me scratch my head. And I know maybe you read stuff like I do, you know, so when you see, I don't think people read critically. So when you see, oh, more Republicans or old people are going to die than Republican Democrats, and nobody stops to think, wait a minute, how is that possible? So there's another one of those things. And the lefties, you know, always have this climate change angle. So this is on some site called Newser that I saw, and says scientists know why this volcano, I don't even know how to say that, but this Hawaiian volcano got triggered. I don't know if this is the one that was erupting all over the island. You remember the Hawaiian eruptions and the lava just running crazy on the island, and people were saying, oh, it's the end of Hawaii and that sort of thing. But so check this out. What do you think about this? Because of extreme rainfall, right? So they're saying the eruptions, this another one of these not widely published journals says, and then it got to Nature. So somebody did one of these studies, and by the way, there's a whole background to how these scientific studies, quote unquote, end up in these journals. So you have to take this stuff with a grain of salt. But this Nature's supposed to be pretty prestigious. So the research says that the volcano was triggered because of heavy rain, right? And the whole tie is global warming, because the climate change, they don't call it global warming anywhere because they can't find the warming. So you just have to use the generic term climate change. You don't know whether it's getting hotter, getting colder, what exactly is happening, but it's changing. We don't know what it's doing, but it's changing. We can't find the heat that we reported on for, you know, 5 years, 6, 7, 8 years running. So let's change the terms. And I don't know, you pick. Is it getting cold, hot? What is it? But they say the one thing we know, stuff is melting and more precipitation is in the atmosphere, so it means more rain. So we're going to get a lot of rain. And since rain triggers volcanoes, then volcanoes are going to erupt because of climate change. So that's one more thing to throw on the pile, right? Because we're all, and now think this through, okay? Because if you think it through and you follow their reporting, this, let's just take their, okay, we'll take your word for it. Rain triggers volcano eruptions. This is actually great news. This is wonderful news. This is wonderful news. If climate change, more rain triggers volcanoes, that's great. Because another problem with climate change, formerly known as global warming, is that the seas are going to rise. We're reducing land mass, right? Because it's going to be covered in water. Guess what? Volcanoes create land mass. So this is the balance. So I think just found the cure. And I mean, doesn't nature work this way? Homeostasis? That's a principle in science. They used to teach homeostasis, right? That an environment seeks balance. Oh, I forgot. This stuff doesn't involve science. But anyway, climate change, formerly known as global warming, is going to make the oceans rise, less land mass, but volcanoes are erupting at the same time, creating more land. So the lava goes, it hits the water, it cools, boom, you got your land back. No problem. But here's the thing. This is how the thing worked, which is crazy. They're saying, we've never heard of this. This has never happened before. It sounds loony. It sounds unbelievable. But this is the theory. It rained, and rain made its way 2 miles below the earth and caused the volcano to erupt. It rained so much, and the rain went 2 miles beneath the earth And that caused an increase in the volcanic pressure, which caused the volcano to erupt. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Come on. You're kidding, right? Surely they're not serious. Raindrops. Rain runoff made its way 2 miles under the earth and caused a volcano to erupt. Lord have mercy. 129 inches. Oh my gosh. 129 inches. What is 129 inches? Six feet of rain. Is that what that is? What is 120? No, 6 feet is like 72 inches. So 120, that was that 10 feet of rain? That's like 10 feet. And that went two miles into the earth. I can't, like, we rent property now in Tampa. I'm trying to just get grass seed to grow in the backyard. And I don't know if you guys have seen this phenomenon. I like gardening and growing stuff. I'm trying to grow grass seed. I turn on a sprinkler, man. Then they could run for an hour and it's just, you know, water piling up. I walk out there when it's done. I rub my finger across the top of the dirt. There's like 1/1,000,000th of a millimeter of a layer of moisture. And then when I rub my finger across it, that 1/1,000,000th below that is bone dry. I can't even get water to penetrate 1/1,000,000th of a milliliter in the Florida sand. How do you get rain to go 2 miles into the ground and cause, what is it, like the volcano doesn't like being wet? Ah, I told you guys, stop putting water on it. Blah. You know, you made the volcano gods angry. They don't like to be wet. I don't know. I don't even get it. I'm not a scientist, so clearly I'm an idiot. I don't even, you know, I don't know how to make sense out of this. People obviously smarter than us have figured out that water drops penetrating 2 miles under the earth cause volcanoes to erupt. But I think if that's part of, that's going to be part of climate change. I think that's good news. There's some positive news in climate change. Positive news. So while the land is being flooded and done away with, then volcanoes will create more. And I understand, I think the volcanic ash and that sort of thing is very, like, you don't want it in the air blocking out the sun. But I've heard it's very fertile, pretty fertile. So that's another good piece of news. Okay. Anyway. All right. This dude's silly. Am I silly? I guess I'm silly. I told you, I'm not talking about the virus, man. We're all locked up. I figured you guys needed something less serious and death and doom and gloom. So we're just kind of walking through what's going on. Now, here's the thing that's kind of cool. Ford unveils. You can tune out at any time. I'm not talking about the virus. I'll be done here shortly. Ford unveils an electric Mustang Jet 1400 that they say will crush the quarter mile in under 8 seconds. That's not super fast, but it's fast. But, you know, a lot of these other, the big high performance do it, you know, 6 seconds, 4 seconds, whatever. But the point is, or maybe it's a mile. It is pretty fast, though. Quarter mile under 8 seconds. The whole point is the thing is electric. So they're trying to, you know, demonstrate that this electric technology can be high performance. This is a one-off thing, so it's not going into, you know, commercial production. You're not going to be able to buy one at the moment, not yet. But they're demonstrating the technology, and I thought that was pretty cool. Pretty good looking car, which Mustangs look tough anyway, most of them. Remember those old 80s Mustangs? I had a buddy. He loved those things, man. That's when they were not tough. But anyway, that one looks pretty tough. And I feel like it's almost like the fact that the oil companies have now diversified, that they're now allowing electric technology, electric vehicle technology. I mean, it's funny, you study the whole Rockefeller, you know, J.D. Rockefeller pretty much destroyed the electric motor industry in order to monopolize the market with his oil, the cheap oil and the fuel and whatever. But they got to the point where, you know, alcohol fuel was cheaper than the petroleum-based fuel. And Rockefeller funded the temperance movement, the prohibition movement, to, you know, go after alcohol because people were pretty much fermenting their own fuel for alcohol fuel engines, and it was a lot cheaper than the gasoline from the petroleum. And so Rockefeller took that out. In California, for instance, and other places, electric public transportation all over America 100 years ago was thriving. Electric city buses. And Rockefeller had one of his stooges in the government there, and they actually took the electric buses and were just destroying them, junked them. You know, so point is that the technology for the electric motor and all this stuff's been around for so long, but it's been squashed by the petroleum industry. And I think now that they've diversified, and, you know, they have some interest in it as well. Like, you know, when people pretty much showed, hey, this is legit, and, you know, and all that kind of thing. So they, now that they have a share in it, then, you know, you see this kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. But, you know, it takes the big money globalists to kind of open up the door. Isn't that terrible? I mean, just pathetic. Like, we can't even have this thing. By the way, I've always had a problem with lefty loons kind of cornering the market on stewardship, right? So taking care of your environment. Like, that's why people hunt. Hunting is conservation. So being good stewards over God's creation, right, should be conservative thing, for lack of a better term. And then we let the lefties turn it in. They didn't even care about the environment. They use it as cover, turn it into a religion, and use it to control people. Whereas taking care of the environment legitimately, being good stewards over creation, ought to be a conservative issue. But we turned it loose, and we let them, you know, we let them take control of that. So, you know, some people like all that kind of stuff. Of course, the funny thing about the electric cars, the battery powered cars and things like that, you still have to charge them. And, you know, up to this point, it's been coal-fired power plants that give the electricity to the batteries. And then, you know, the battery that you have to throw away that's toxic. I mean, this stuff's crazy anyway. So as far as that, as far as these lefties virtue signaling about all that stuff, they're not doing anything. But the thing is, when you unleash the technology, then Americans are innovative. I mean, people across the globe are innovative, but I think Americans especially are very innovative, and they come up with a way to make these things work. If you get out of people's way and you let people who really are concerned, rather than the fake left who wants to use environmentalism as a control mechanism and as a religion and a way to redistribute wealth, if you actually let people who truly are concerned with the environment, you know, legitimately, and want to do things smart and want to be good stewards and are innovative, then we get the stuff done. We don't need the government, you know, we don't need their iron fist around our throats. We don't need the Marxist stooges who are the useful idiots for their agenda. We don't need, you know, Antifa trolls trying to tell us what to do, what not to do. Get the heck out of the way. People actually care about where they live, and let them innovate, let them create. We do that. We'll do that. But, you know, government's got to be in there, and they have to preach their nonsense so that they can, you know, create the divide and pit one against the other. Then they're afraid some entrepreneur will rise up, right? They don't want to decentralize this stuff, the government in bed with big oil has to have a monopoly on it because they don't want entrepreneurs, you know, honing in on their market. But you turn the American people loose, we have fuel efficient vehicles that have plenty of power and don't destroy the planet. Nobody has a problem with that. But what we recognize is they're not actually interested in that. That's just fake nonsense to control people. So anyway, Americans are smart. Americans are innovative. Americans can get the job done. Just the Marxists and their cronies, get out of the way. No problem. Piece of cake. So there you go. That's the deal. Turn loose entrepreneurship. All right, guys. Appreciate you showing up for the virus-free broadcasting fireside chat about, I don't know, stream of consciousness, whatever. Just wanted to make sure we said hello, because Chris Ann is working on the legal cases from all over the place with these preachers and all this craziness. And we didn't want to leave you guys hanging out there. So she said, hey, go say hey to the folks and, you know, just tell them stuff that's going on for a little while so that they don't think we abandoned them. So appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys showing up. Thanks for entertaining me for a little bit. And hopefully Chris Ann and I'll both be back tomorrow. Right on. So sometimes your brain needs a break. Make sure you take a little time while you're on house arrest to unplug from this stuff. Don't consume this news and propaganda that's trying to depress you, trying to beat you down, trying to brainwash you. Make sure you take time to unplug from this stuff. You should follow some funny thing on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Look at something funny, something light. You need that break. We know how to get serious. We know how to get down to business. We know that. Patriots know how to throw down. We know that. But you also need to relax from time to time. You need to unplug. Make sure you make unplugging part of the fight. You have to rest. You have to take time to unplug your brain and chill. So we wanted to remind you of that today and not just pound this nonsense and repeat and regurgitate all this stuff. No, Zach. Part of organizing is taking a break, bro. That's my point. We do need to organize, but you have to make a breather part of your organization. Dude, you can't keep pushing soldiers, fight, fight, fight. Go study some World War II battles. That's how they destroyed those soldiers over there, and they kept going. Man, it blew their mind up. You have to take a break. You have to have a break. I don't care if it's 30 minutes, okay? We're not talking about go sit under the shade and quit the fight. That's not what I'm saying. Make a break part of the fight. You have to do that. Don't forget that. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. If somebody tells you otherwise, they probably really haven't been in the fight. They probably really haven't been in a serious fight, in a sustained fight. So I'm telling you from experience. You got to take a breather as part of the fight. You could be like Kim Jong-un, man. Go buy you a barrel of Twinkies and just chow down for an hour. But you don't want to get bloated like he is, man. Then you'll be no good for the fight. So, go relax. Get your energy back. Get your mind reset. Get your spirit reset. Listen to some praise and worship. Listen to whatever relaxes you. Plug into something positive. Then you're charged and you can be like Cookie Monster. I'm ready for the fight. Get back in it. All right. Peace out, guys. See you next time.